Hello, everyone. I'll start this at the beginning. So I grew up in a household of two brothers and one half-brother. And I'm the baby of the family, and my mom and dad raised us. And so we would attend church. We moved to Oak Park, it's a western suburb, and moved there when I was in second grade, and we attended Judson Baptist Church of Oak Park. And so there I would attend the children's church, and that was pretty much it. And so as I grew up, I didn't really like the youth group, so I really didn't go. And so there would be times where my mom would make me go, but I would just sit in the corner and mind my own business. And so it was obvious that I wasn't saved then at all. And around junior, when I was in middle school, seventh grade, I had a friend named Sammy that came to our church. And so he was big into skateboarding, and he was like 24, 25 at the time, just got married. And he sought me out. And so we would go skateboarding. And so from seventh to eighth grade, we had a close relationship. And then from high school, we drifted apart, and that was due to my own sin in my own life. I had a real inappropriate relationship with in high school from freshman year till senior year, junior year. And so then we broke it off because we're going to different colleges. And so from there, I went into college, Lewis University, as aviation flight, and that became an idol of mine. So I got the flight simulators, and I downloaded it legally to get all types of stuff. And then sophomore year of college was essential. I got a job at Schaumburg Regional Airport, and I was working there for a couple weeks, and then the flight school where I was working went out of business, and that was due to the manager being shady with his money and not paying bills and just escaping paying us, the employees. And so I was told to actually leave because the place ceased operations, and I was at the front desk. And so I was jobless for a summer, and then I talked to Sammy one day when I was going to church, and he said that he had a position open, and I started working with him. And he worked in Countryside as a supervisor for cutting steel. And so it was this little bitty warehouse, and I mean, it was cool. Learned how to drive a forklift, how to go to work daily without complaining. And so more importantly, though, it was during that time where on those car rides, he would pray, and he would have me read scripture. And at first, it was uncomfortable because I didn't want to be around the scriptures. And then we were going through the book of John, and that was, I would say, July 2008. And the Lord began to soften my heart towards the Word of God. And partly was because I saw the Word of God being fulfilled in Sammy. He was living out the Word of God. And even as he worked, he didn't take too long of breaks. He was a godly man. And then we were going through John 14, 1-7, which says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. And it was like all at that moment, my whole entire reality of everything came crashing down. Because I grew up in an educational system that believed that evolution was the way, and that you have to get a good education to make it in life, and that that was the primary importance. And I was raised like that as well. And I now saw that Jesus was the truth, and that he was the only way. And I knew that the scriptures were real because I saw it being lived out in Sammy's life. And I saw just the fruitful blessing of it as well. And it was as if he was John the Baptist to me. And it was like Luke 3:3-8. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our fathers. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. And Sammy was honest with me. He didn't back away from the truth. He upheld the truth. And it was like I had a Paul experience as well. On July 22nd, 2008, that's when I can recall that was when I was saved. Like Acts 9:3 says, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. And it's interesting because here, he believed all his life that Jesus was a false prophet and that all his people were a corrupt sect that need to be abolished. And so he went from town to town, you know, persecuting them. And at that moment, his whole reality came crashing down. And that was that was me. That was my Damascus Road experience, where I had my point of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus now became glorious to me. He opened my eyes, and at that moment, Christ became the central, most important thing in my life. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is now my hope. And he is the only reason I see myself living. And I see everything the way of this world as dung, worthless, and that everything should be done for the glory of God. Jesus Christ is my precious Savior. And if it comes to it, I would give up my life for him. And it was from that day on that I started to bear fruit in my own life. And my mom was asking me the whole summer, when are you going to get baptized? When are you going to get baptized? And so it was August 22nd that I got baptized. And it was by Sammy who baptized me. So that was pretty cool. And he, through my college career, and he is still discipling me to this day. And so I noticed some key things that started to happen in my life. Aviation started to become boring. It wasn't the all adrenaline high that I would get from it. And so I graduated from Lewis with an aviation maintenance degree and started working in Wooddale as a quality inspector. And so as I was going to work, as I was saved, we would listen to Moody Radio. And even in the warehouse, we were able to turn it on and listen to it. And I remember it was around my birthday that I've heard of this legacy conference that I had an old youth pastor from our church was the founder of it. Now it's huge. And his name is Brian Dye. And it was like an urban ministry to teach biblical theology. And Brian Dye was on the radio, and so he was giving away free tickets. And I've never won anything in my life, and not even raffles. So that was pretty interesting. I called in, and they asked for my phone number and my address. I'm like, what's going on here? And so they said, hey, you won. I was like, yay. So I won. And I didn't realize how expensive the tickets were, but I think God wanted me from the beginning to have biblical preaching. And that was, I see him providing in his providence for me. At that conference, I was introduced to Paul Washer, and his type of preaching was so foreign to me. And he was teaching on the gospel and the biblical manhood. And, I mean, I was convicted right away with my life. And so from that, it was like Sammy was there to help me digest it, what we were going through, and I was taking notes frenetically. So we would always go over it in the car ride back home around 9:30. And also something that was key in my life was that my older brother, LaRon, he was someone I looked up to all my life, and he would listen to like Biggie, Tupac, and he introduced me to a lot of sinful ways. And at the end of this legacy conference, they had Christian rap there, and it was foreign to me. I didn't understand what it was, and I didn't understand how to take it. And so he asked if I wanted to say. I was like, no, that's okay. So from that point on, my life began to change rapidly. I began to become persecuted by my friends because I came back to school and I was totally different. And I started to witness to them, and they started calling me Jesus freak and all that stuff. And so then Sam began to challenge me in my relationship with Stephanie, now my wife. And he was asking if my relationship was honoring to God, and it totally wasn't. I knew that she wasn't a believer, and that I was being convicted by the Word of God because I was in it every day. And so it was like I was miserable. And one day I was on the phone with him, and he said, what is God telling you to do? He's like, he's telling me to break up with her. And he said, right. So the next day, I talked to Stephanie, and we went through 2 Corinthians 6, because that was what he showed me. And they read about how Paul sacrificed his body, his emotions, his entire self for the sake of the Corinthian church. And that was how I saw what Sammy was doing with my life. He invested so much time. And I was not opening my heart to him. And I was actually closing myself off. And then it spoke about from verses 14 to 18, it tells about being unequally yoked together. And so I was like, what does that mean? And he explained that unequally yoked is when you have, when you're plowing and you have an oxen and a donkey, and when they're put together, you can't plow correctly. And so that was like our relationship. Hate to describe my wife as a donkey, but she was, in that symbolism way, she was that donkey. And it's funny because donkeys, when they do not want to go wherever the owner wants to go. And so it was like that. She needed to be changed into an ox. And so God called me to put my relationship with Stephanie on his altar as a sacrifice to him. And to this day, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done. And yet, when we broke up, I had a sigh of relief, and I knew that he was the only one I had. And it was from that point on, I knew that that was the only one I needed. And I didn't need a relationship to complete me. I didn't need money or any type of educational thing. It was all him. And so I, from that point on, it was during that time that while we were being broken up, I was praying diligently, and it was around 12 a.m. And I got a call from Sammy at 1 a.m. saying that that Christ had saved Stephanie, that she was born again. And I was just thinking of how it says in James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will always honor obedience and you, and use the one who humbly trusts in him, even when everything seems impossible. And so I just wanted to encourage those also that that when we follow God's ways, we reap God's blessings. And when we don't, it's like we are closing the storehouse to his blessings and his love as well. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I give all the glory to God for that. Thanks, guys.